Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Right. This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the best of H&J, the daily podcast. And we had a football administrator in of some repute, Paul Watson, the director of CONIFA, the non-FIFA nations. They've got their World Cup coming up.
I think it's going to be absolutely
Sounds
brilliant
good.
Event.
I'm going to take
Real,
in a game.
Really fun.
So you've got all the details of that. We had a bit of a chat. We had some good input from the listeners on their stinking rotten kit that they've worn for sport. There's some funny, including a celebrity one from a former England under-19 skipper.
That's true. I had a bit of a rant about Chelsea. So
you did. You hear that. Hope you enjoy it.
Good afternoon. But I have to say that the David Warner press conference was the worst accent I've seen since Amy Turpin.
It's a comparison everybody's been making, obviously.
You're supposed to believe that, honestly. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Morning, Mr. Richardson. Did he actually say that at any point?
Definitely.
Your mother's in her office. She got her an hour ago. That's it. Sorry, mate.
And also, excuse me.
He didn't go off his long run. He's clearing the throat.
That's true. Also unimpressive were Joseph Parker's hacker dancers.
Yeah.
Could have been a touch more athletic.
Yeah, I thought the two blokes who came out with him really...
I sense they
were from Bridge End. I thought they were. They can be brought in last minute, really.
Good to see Les Kellett back in work.
Yeah, they really didn't. Especially your man on the left, he didn't put his back into it.
It wasn't great, was it? No. So that wasn't good. But picked up on this on the weekend in the Jewish Chronicle.
Oh yeah,
a photo of the chief rabbi trying out his bowling at London McCarthy's Ben Nets.
He looks a bit slow left arm.
I think he's been practicing beamers. Jeremy Corbyn.
Is that what he's doing?
Could be.
Oh, okay, yeah. Not a bad idea.
Even bowling in a suit, I always, that's a great look.
It's always
a
good look, yeah.
And two, the Bridge, congratulations to Tottenham. I think they've secured top four now.
You think so?
Yeah,
so
very good side.
I'm a bit worried about Stoke. It didn't look too bad until Arsenal got that daft pen.
I don't think you need to worry. I think had it been Chelsea 1 and it been down to 2 points, yes, it could have been a bit tight. But I think now that's done and dusted. And, you know, and Spurs, they're together.
You couldn't have seen it at half-time, though, because I was saying you at half-time, Chelsea were well on top.
Until we scored. Yeah, it's the story of Chelsea's season, really. They sort of look all right, play okay, not clinical enough in front of goal, and then give the other team goals. I mean,
well, do you think he should have saved it? I thought it was a great.
Well, no, but I think Moses should have cleared it. I don't think he should have.
Isn't that a bit of bad luck?
I mean, it's not really bad luck. It was bad football. I mean, he had a chance to set Willian away. He could have done two things. He could have put it out, or he could have set Willian away. What he didn't do was give the ball straight back to Spurs, who gave it to Eriksen, and Chelsea stood off him because Conte made no tactical adjustment for Eriksen dropping into midfield. He made no tactical adjustment the entire game.
There's still a lot to do, though. I think it's a bit tight on Moses, though. He tries to chip the ball over the defender, he doesn't quite make it. It's still a lot that happens.
No, one header to Eriksen and he scores.
Yeah, but I mean,
and then the goalkeeper ducks.
Wouldn't necessarily expect.
Again, that's a bit like Henderson's one last year. The thing is, from behind the goal, it does look as if it's going. What fools him, Caballero, is he thinks the ball's going over the bar. The trajectory is. I was right behind it, absolutely, literally right behind it. And I thought, oh, that's over.
Yeah.
And when it went in the net, I went, well, what's happened there? So it dipped like mad. Mm. Yeah, I get that. But it still wasn't a fabulous bit of goalkeeping. And, you know, they missed a straight ball for the second goal. Lovely finish, yes.
Yeah. But the Toby Alderweireld ball before he got put on the naughty
slip. Absolutely should have been cleared. Yeah. And then, you know, the last goal also should have been cleared. So there you go. And then, and given that Chelsea missed a few as well. But look, the point
second half, though, they just never got going, did they, really? Not a shot on target.
And Willian had played 92 minutes for Brazil against Germany. He would look absolutely knackered, but he made three changes. There isn't a manager, I said this to you, from La Liga to the Dog and Duck to the Jewish Sunday League to any level of football that would not have made a substitution when you've gone two down with 25 minutes to go. You think to yourself as a manager, any level, you go, well, look, we've got to do something here. We might as well lose 5-1 and then 3-1. What does it matter?
Yeah.
Let's take off a defender. Let's match Spurs in midfield and let's bring on an extra attacker.
Did in the end, but a bit too late.
Well, after 81 minutes, he made three substitutions in 7 minutes. And one was like for like. And the other was basically what he should have done earlier and bring on Hudson-Odoi for Willian. He's just not interested. And he's making... I did that thing... I don't know if you remember when Bridget Nielsen misbehaved on fantasy football.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Frank said something to her in the break. You all know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said something similar to Conte. I thought he was making a complete fool of himself.
It's not what he said.
No, but that's not what I said either, but I'm sanitising it for broadcast.
It's interesting. It was a good piece.
He made a complete fool of himself by standing there. Chelsea won 5 out of 7 in December and were second. They've won 3 games since he went into a sulk about the January
after
transfer
the window. Yeah. Good piece by Jason Burt, our old mate from The Telegraph, the seasoned Chelsea watcher. He's writing about it today, and he's saying that, you know, will you see that seed change, that a manager comes in and maybe would be allowed? That point you were making to Jimmy kind of makes today. If Pochettino had gone to Chelsea, he probably would have lost his job by now because he would have outed some senior players and he would have put a bunch of kids in, and that wouldn't have gone down well, would it?
No. It's a very difficult club to manage because the board never back the manager. They never really... They only back him for one season. And so it makes it incredibly difficult. But, you know, they've still got... I think they had a good enough squad to finish second this year.
But, so I agree with you.
You know, but unfortunately, you know, the manager's deliberately self-destructed. I think you can look at it two ways. He's either deliberately self-destructive or he's having the worst period of his career and he's just making mistake after mistake after mistake. And I think he's better than that. So I think it's kind of, well, it's hard to say. It's very, very difficult. You can't make that accusation, so I can't make that accusation. But you're left with a feeling of, well, what is going on? Because really, this bloke's lost his marbles in terms of football.
Yeah.
You know, they're just doing nothing right, and you know, none of it's a surprise really. And Hazard's not interested. He's not doing himself
any
favours.
You think he's off?
Well, he might be, but he's not doing himself any favours. And that's for the FA Cup. I mean, it's basically whoever wins the Spurs United semi-final, that's a bye. So it is.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, even if Chelsea beat Southampton, can you see anything happening in the final against...
You know, a one-off game course,
I mean, when you look at the team, we all do this. We go to football and we see the team an hour before the game and we go, what's he doing? Why does he keep picking... In our case, why does he keep picking Fabregas and Kante? How many times do they have to play together in a two... with everybody in the universe saying they can't play together in a two, and this bloke still thinks they can.
Yeah.
Whereas Drinkwater, for some reason, he's just angry at Drinkwater. He didn't want him. He didn't want Matic to go. So he just basically will not pick him. And the one game he picked him, when they played against United, they looked terrific, Chelsea. They should have won the game that day. And, you know, they won the league together, Kante and Drinkwater. If you're going to, you know, it makes no sense whatsoever.
I can see the logic in what you're saying. You get no crime from me because we could end up in a cup final together and football karma... comes back to bite you on the bum.
Look, you know, Spurs, it's a great time for Tottenham. They've got a fabulous manager. They've got a lovely team. They've got backup. They've got strength in depth. They've got a brand new stadium coming on stream. It's a great time for the club. And fair enough, you know, Spurs had a lot of years of suffering. You know, when we did this show, when we started to basically 2 years ago, you know, you were suffering. Your club was never anywhere, really. Never really threatened to do anything. They had the odd victory here and there. But, you know, you stuck with it and then you found this guy. And he's been backed and backed and backed. And the players love him. The players believe in him. And really, the cycle looks good. I mean, there's no reason why Tottenham can't go on and win stuff. You know, they should do.
Mm, we'll see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I was fascinated by this game, though, between Baltika Kaliningrad... and Luch Vladivostok.
Oh, yeah.
It was a 12,000-mile journey for the Kaliningrad fans.
Oh, yeah.
The world's longest football away trip. It was a 0-0.
Fantastic.
I hope they didn't sing, "Is that all you take away?"
Yeah, that's what maybe we'll get a chance to meet up with some of those people when we're in Kaliningrad and talk to them about that fixture and whether they enjoyed themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I've got something for you this afternoon. I'd like to get you involved in this one. This is a crackpot survey. Keeping sport kit clean makes you fitter because you feel more positive, so perform better. At a poll of adults.
Yeah, I mean, Boris Johnson could take note there.
That's all very well, but we'd like you to relive the times you turned out for sport in not the cleanest of kit. Now, that could be simply because whose turn it was to wash it. So it went off in the black bin bag after the game.
It just came
and
back.
And it's Tone's turn to wash it. Following week, Tone goes, "Ah, it's still in the back of the car, boys." But it was pouring rain last week. It was a muddy pitch. Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. Could be one of them. It could be a bad wash when washing goes bad. A bit mildew gone back in the bag wet.
That's true.
Could be one of those. Or it could be the fact that you forgot to take your kit bag out the back of the car. My old mate of mine who played good standard non-league had a running battle with a teammate. And his kit used to get a bit dank and a bit fetid in the back of the car, to the point that his friend in the team said to him one day, "Have you found it yet?" He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Have you found it?" He said, "Go to the back of your car now." And he went to the back of his car and he noticed a sort of plastic bag in the corner. And he opened it and basically it had dung in it.
Dung.
D-U-N-G, dung. So he goes back to his friend he's had this kind of wind-up thing with. He said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, we went to the circus with the kids the other week, and I said to the bloke, 'Could I have a bag of elephant dung?' And I said I wanted it for me flowers." And he said, "Yeah, all right, mate." So he gave me a bag. And he said, "After training last Tuesday, it's the week on, I put it in the back of your car."
And the bloke didn't notice.
No, he thought it was just his kit bag reeking in there. So that's how bad it was.
That's very bad.
So, fetid kit, have you turned out in it and why?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So, Andy, do you have anything for us?
Yes, I do. Yeah, hold on. This was amusing. Let me just clear my throat, though.
Oh, okay. You're struggling a bit today.
I'm fine now.
Good.
This was good. Pranksters targeted former Wales striker Jermaine Easter's Wikipedia page to change his surname to Jermaine Non-Denominational Spring Celebration.
Is that right?
Yeah. That was very amusing. It was amended by WAGS over the bank holiday weekend.
Not WAGS, not in the football sense.
No.
Not the wives and girlfriends. Do you want news? Do you want some news of fetid kit?
Yeah.
My front row colleague John Bacon, says Chris Logan, real name, went through an entire season without washing his kit. Meant an even more smellier than normal scrum.
God,
that's a tactic, isn't it?
Really,
I suppose
horrible.
That is a tactic if you're front row. Thank you very much for that, Chris.
So, yeah.
Our Sunday League football manager also owned a fish factory.
Oh dear.
His wife washed our kit with his work clothes, says Ashley. Oh, that wouldn't be good. No one's going to man mark you, though, are they? They're not going to get that close. And this is from Joshua. He says, "I was once asked to play as a last minute replacement due to illness. This was 2 years after I hung up my boots. The insides of said boots had become like compost.
Oh no.
After about 3 minutes of action, the sole fell off my right boot like a clown. I've never played since." So keep those coming.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, Andy, what did you want to say?
Did you see John Bercow, the sports mad Speaker of the House of Commons?
Mm-hmm.
It's been reported that he accepted sports tickets and hospitality worth more than £16,000 as gifts in the past year. Bercow, described himself as a big Gunners fan, also accepted £5,429.63 worth of tickets to football matches, mainly for Arsenal, which he likes to attend with his son. Yeah, don't we all? We don't have to pay for it, though, do we? It's fantastic. Honestly.
Wow.
It's amazing, isn't
Order.
It?
Order up!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Really, but there you go.
Yes, now, among one of the names that's proving less popular than it was last year, have you seen some of the names that are dying out?
Yes.
Alexa.
Yeah, that's
and it's because of Amazon. And because basically, if you call your kids Alexa, they're facing, if this thing takes off, which it seems to have done, of course, this gizmo, Andy, then you're facing a life of servitude, aren't you, if you're Alexa? Well, people just walk up to her and say, "Alexa, can you tell me what the weather's going to be like tomorrow? Alexa, what time does the film start at the Odeon?"
It would drive you mad. I bet that's happening to people called Alexa.
Can't be easy, can it? Yeah, if you're on Alexa, let us know.
Stan
whether
Stan
already
and Ollie, though, I suppose it's, they are.
It's nothing to do with Laura and Hardy.
Really?
No. Apparently, Stan is an abbreviation, an online abbreviation of Stalker Fan.
Oh, is that from the Eminem song, Dear Stan?
Well, nobody, I suppose, I'm guessing. Yeah, so no one wants to be called that. And Ollie is apparently due to, we're told by the Sun, a bizarre internet craze where people eat dog food made by the US brand Ollie.
No.
So no one wants to eat dog food or be seen as a Stalker Fan or basically as a gizmo.
So nothing to do with Stan and Ollie.
Nothing to do with Stan and Ollie. No, their name should never die out in my eyes.
And it is interesting because you were telling me that the Australian cricketers are appealing, you know, against the sort of severity.
Well, the union on their behalf, the players' union. Yeah, this is the three players who've picked up bans, obviously.
Brian Pearson of the Isle of Wight wrote to the Sun. He's not happy about it. He says that ex-captain Steve Smith should be banned for life.
Wow.
For a short period of time. Honestly, how about hanging Brian? Is that all right?
Ban for life.
No, people have gone way, way over the top with this. I mean,
we did tell you about this survey earlier on that said keeping sport clean makes you fitter because you feel more positive and perform better.
Mm.
But we were more interested in the kind of rank kit that you poured on for whatever reason. And you're telling us your story. My mate Richard Harwood's cricket kit is still in the club changing room from last season. Whites and towel included. So he's probably just waiting for the new season to start. Waiting for nets, Michael. That's what it is. Michael from Rickmansworth tells us. And he just pull it back on again like he's never been away. A few seasons ago, says Conrad, our cricket captain opened his bag for the first game of the new season. We all collapsed. Sorry, lads, he explained. I've been a bit busy. He'd not washed it since the last game of the previous season. See, Michael from Rickmansworth.
That's exactly
what's going to happen. So mid-September to the following season. Thank you very much.
To April. That's only about 6 or 7 months. You know, probably the kit was quite hot. They did a list in one of the papers of the... Because Easter time is often time for sort of mad sporting events, and we get them in the summer. And I was looking at the... They listed all the things that happened. I think we've done them all. I think we've done cheese rolling, haven't we? Bed racing. I'm sure we've done the great Knaresborough bed race.
Mm-hmm.
World toe wrestling. I remember that. World Worm Charming Championships, World Egg Throwing Championships. Stop me if we haven't done these because we'll get some.
I think we've done most of them.
World Snail Racing too. We definitely did that, snail racing.
Mm-hmm.
World Bog Snorkeling.
Well, we've done that too many times.
Too many times.
You would say, yeah.
World Black Pudding Throwing Championships. Have we done that one?
Yes, almost certainly, yeah.
Okay. The World Gurning Championships, so of course at Egremont, we've done that one. World Conquer Championships, a big staple of our show in October. And the World's Biggest Liar, I know we did that, I remember that. So basically there isn't a mad world championship we haven't done.
That's great to hear.
I know, I was quite proud when I saw that.
Alex Wakeley's been in touch of Northants, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
He tells us, he said, I once used one jock strap for the whole season.
Really?
At the end of the year, I forgot to put it in the bin. He didn't give it to the club museum then. When I came in for...
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
pre-season, my spot in the changing room stank.
Oh, no.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Opened my bag to find a mouldy box and the worst stench ever.
Oh, no, that's not good,
Thank you, Alex, for that.
You could have given it to science.
Yeah, they could have done. So penicillin was now, probably not. Talksport.com/H&J, text to 81089, tweet to TSH&J. Get in touch this afternoon. Items of fetid kit that you've played in, turned up and had to play. Probably not your own fault. Some fairly rank kit. Tell us your stories. Shall we have the clips of the month?
Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah, clips of the month time then. We only had 3 weeks, but there were some pretty good clips. Because Andy was obviously away at the start of the month, but we've got 3 weeks out. So we're going to start with Jim White and a caller.
Phil, you're a West Brom fan. Phil, good morning.
Morning, Jim.
Morning,
Phil. Now,
Phil, without me putting words in your mouth, I've never spoken to you before in my life, have you? Have I?
Yes.
Right.
Last week.
Sorry?
Yes, last week.
The magician.
Yeah, he's a magician. We've never met before, have we? Yes, last week.
Yeah. The Moose now, live in Paris, in his new role as British ambassador.
I was here 18 months ago for the Euro, so I've pretty much done most of the sights of Paris, but it's always great going down to the Eiffel Tower and hanging around by the Seine. Oh, shut up, I'm crossing the road!
Right, isn't it?
There he is.
Okay. Hands across the water once again with the Moose. So get ready, Russia, he's on his way. And this was the Wigan manager, Paul Cook, who had a sore throat, which gave him two very distinctly different voices. Listen to this.
You know, and nowadays in the modern game, teams have been known to make changes, so whatever team Southampton bring, we know it's going to be very tough, but we've got a chance.
I don't even know how
that
happened.
It's a bizarre clip.
Very strange.
So mad.
Like two people. Alan Brazil here with Laura Woods and David Ginola and some geography confusion involving former French international Stéphane Guivache.
Right, so he's quoted as saying he could have stayed in football. I was in Guingamp. Did I say that right?
China?
Say that again.
Guingamp?
What's Guingamp?
There we go.
Perfect.
He was a sporting director there for 6 months.
That's China, yeah.
But he fell out with their president.
What?
Where's Guingamp? Where's that, China?
Guingamp is near, is in Brittany.
Not that near China.
That feed goes, what? What? Was that China? Anyway, this is the newsreader, Jenny Barsby, either stifling a sneeze or getting a bit emotional. We haven't quite worked out which.
It's been quite cold to start today, but we'll see a band of showers moving in from the southwest. These could be heavy and thundery in places.
Oh, we don't like that bad weather.
I don't like thunder.
And finally, it's Fisherman's Blues, and Nigel encountered some unsavoury behaviour at a fishing show.
Stopped off at the Sonia Bates stand, saw Adam Firth, Neil McKinnon, Ian Day, and they had some amazing chocolate orange wafters.
Dirty boys. But yeah, better than the eggy ones.
They are.
So there we are. Jim White, we haven't spoken before. The Moose, hands across the water. Paul Cook's two different voices.
I'm going with Paul Cook for me. But
it's a good
one.
You can vote. Don't influence. It doesn't carry favour. It's up to you. Guingamp, China. What? Jenny Barsby, sneezing and or crying. And chocolate orange wafters.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Make a welcome return to the studio now in his role as the director of the CONIFA World Cup. He's a journalist and maker of fine films on the subject of football and author. It's Paul Watson. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
It's a dream come true.
It is, Paul. Let's first tell people what CONIFA is. You've popped in, actually, with some of the players that will be playing in this tournament in the past, but just give us a little bit of background to it.
Yeah, sure. So CONIFA is the Confederation of Independent Football Associations, and it's basically a non-FIFA FIFA. So we represent nations, states and peoples who don't fit within FIFA's framework. So probably the most famous case would be Tibet. But then we also have people who represent ethnicities or linguistic identities. But basically it's another way of looking at identity through football. So it's not as simple as, you know, you're from Catalonia, you have to play for Spain.
Mm-hmm.
You're from Tibet, you have to play for China. That's FIFA's way. We say, you know, why can't you play for whatever you feel represents you.
Where's Yorkshire? I can't see them on the list.
They've not made it to our World Cup.
No,
well, they've only just joined, you see. They've only been in. So our qualification process for the CONIFA World Football Cup, as we have to call it, started 18 months ago. And it's led to this tournament in London. And it's basically our World Cup, our version of of the FIFA World Cup, and it starts just before FIFA's World Cup, or finishes just before FIFA's World Cup. And it's being played in London, all over London.
I think there'll be a lot of interest in this, especially the time of year that it's going to be on, beginning of June.
It's the only football being played, I think, in the world. So it's pretty much your captive audience here. And as I say, the games are being played all over London and the surrounding area, but at non-league stadiums. So it's a proper World Cup. It's a grassroots World Cup, and all the teams playing, it's their sort of their one chance to represent who they stand for, and it's a massive thing for them.
And Paddy Power have got involved, our old friends, and they're sponsoring it. But it's quite hard to pick a favourite, because you just kind of would go for something that looks bigger. Like, you'd imagine Tibet, that sounds like quite a big place, so they'd have a few people to pick from, so they'd have a chance to win it. I mean, do you know who the favourites are?
Well, actually, Paddy Power have quoted odds on it, and I'm not allowed to say any more than that there are a few in there that some non-FIFA nerds might want some action on. But basically, I would say, there are some strong, strong teams. So Punjab, for example, are going to be very strong. Padania, which is in northern Italy, they're decent. Northern Cyprus are always very competitive, and they'll have a huge... Them and Punjab will have huge support in the UK, especially because Punjab are playing at Enfield Town, so it's a massive community there. Northern Cyprus are playing at Enfield Town, there's a massive community there, and Punjab are playing at Slough Town, so again, you're in the middle of a massive community.
You've got Cascadia as well, which I wasn't aware of. I've just checked it out on the CONIFA website, and this is a federation representing the Cascadia region of the US and Canada, composed of players from Oregon, Washington and British Columbia.
Yeah, so it's the USA team that did make it to the World Cup. they're a bit of a wild card. It really is an incredible mix. And some of the teams have these very tragic stories. Some of them have come through enormous difficulties and horrible periods in their history. Some of them are just bioregions in sort of west of America. So there's a massive variance. But the one thing they all have in common is that they all feel, this is what we stand for, and this is a World Cup for those teams, basically.
There are a couple of names. I mean, I know some of the names from speaking to you earlier and some from your books, but who are Czechland? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's Czechland. Yeah, they're Hungarian. They're the Hungarian minority in Transylvania, I believe, so in Romania. And then Felvedek are also Hungarians, but they're the Hungarian minority in Slovakia. So those two qualified through the European route. But our teams are dotted around the world. So you've got Tuvalu are coming in from the Pacific Islands.
They're coming in. Vic and Bob's favourite team.
Yeah, I think Bob will get right behind them.
So they're coming 9,000 miles or more for this. Then you've got Matabeleland in Zimbabwe, who are basically they were the victims of the genocide through Mugabe. So, you've got a team that's struggling to avoid secret service and to play their games. The same with Kabylia. From Algeria, the Berber people of northern Algeria, having to play their games behind closed doors. And as soon as they announced qualification, their president was arrested, the president of the FA, for exactly that, and held without charge. So you've got these stories. Then you've got United Koreans of Japan who are... United Koreans in Japan who are fourth, fifth generation, the Zainichi, who are treated as outsiders in Japan but have lived there their whole lives. But then you've got North and South Koreans playing for the same team. So you've got these amazing stories. And then you've got some more homegrown stories, like the Isle of Man are in there, playing under the name Ellen Vanin, which is the Manx for Isle of Man.
You've got a lot of games going on at the same time, though, because you've got sort of four at 12 o'clock on the first day, three at 3 o'clock, then you've got the opening ceremony after seven games have taken place.
Yeah, it's like the Olympics. We do the opening ceremony sort of in the evening to make a big event of it with like the flag parade and stuff. But it's sort of a groundhopper's dream and an administrator's nightmare. But it does mean, because we have 48 games, which is we have a plate competition, so no team just plays three games and then goes right back home. It means we get to spread the tournament all over the place. So we kick off at Bromley, where we've got Barawa, UK-based.
Well, the boys come in from Barawa with you.
So
and
good,
I've,
isn't it?
I've got
it's
the shirt.
Great, it's the best shirt in
the
world.
So I will be duty-bound to support them.
You've got to be a Barawa fan. Yeah, they're the host team.
Are they still sponsored by Sea Island Fish?
Red Sea Exotic Fish. No, they've moved on. I think they've got Halal Butcher now. But they're taking...
Really?
I've got the old shirt, but I'm wearing vintage Barawa shirt.
You're not one of the new fans.
No, that's right. I'm old school. They can tell I've been around for a while.
So you've got Barawa against Tamililam, and they're both technically... They're London-based, but obviously they're diaspora teams. And that's kicking it off at Bromley. And we've got Mark Clattenburg refereeing that one, which will be interesting to watch. Mark Clattenburg's doing five games. And that, yeah, that's at Bromley. But, you know, we also have games at Sutton, Carshalton Athletic, Fisher, Haringey Borough, Enfield Town, Slough Town, Bracknell Town, Avely and Bedfont Sports.
What about the funding for this? Because it's not cheap to bring, you know, I presume each squad is at least 18 or 15 a minimum sort of thing. So you've got to bring all those guys over, ones that aren't London-based. And so they must cost quite a bit to put the whole thing on, doesn't
it? It's tough. I mean, we're very much in a battle to sort of bring it in at break even, and part of the thing is we really want to appeal to just normal fans and people who perhaps look at the way the FIFA game's gone and are disillusioned with it. So our ticket prices are £10 adult, £5 under 18. That's across the whole tournament, because we want to get people to come and watch. We want to fill the terraces, and we also want it to be sort of a celebration of non-league football and grassroots and you know what football stands for. But as an organisation, we're all volunteers as well, so we're basically relying on getting enough numbers into the games to make it viable. But that's the way that we are as an organisation. We're not sort of a big corporate powerhouse. We're the little guy, really.
No, of course you
are. Do people need to buy in advance, Paul? I mean, are there going to be walk-ups for some of these, or will it be you buy your tickets in advance?
There are tickets on the door, but actually the stadiums we're using are relatively small.
Right.
So, you know, 5,000 is the biggest capacity. So given some of the size of some of the communities involved, it's probably better to buy in advance, because we're expecting a few sellouts, especially, you know, games like Tibet versus Northern Cyprus has already sold really well at Enfield Town.
It's all the local Tibetans, that's why, you know, you can't move around there for Tibetans in Enfield Town, walking around
Pearson.
They'll
be Tibetan ultras, I imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good prices, isn't it? I mean, for to see, an international match, be it even at this level, for £11, £5.50 for under 18.
It'd be a great atmosphere, I think. The sort of passion for these countries that have never had this opportunity to play before.
And that's it. And, you know, it's all people just playing for the love of it. There will be some pro players in there, but, you know, they're not being paid to play here. It's the same with us as an organisation. We're all volunteers. And, you know, we're really trying to bring the heart and soul back to football a little bit with this tournament running just before Russia. So May 31st to June the 9th.
It's going to get a lot of interest. I'm absolutely sure it'll be featured on TV. You haven't got coverage, have you?
Yeah, they're all being streamed as well.
Really?
So it's going to be going out across the world. But what we really want is people to come out and watch and get behind it and maybe see some teams you'd never think you'd ever go and watch.
So Paddy Power of Colin is a sponsor, and Paddy was in Tibet.
We saw that.
Tibet, I get the idea, last week. And did he behave himself? Did it all go well?
Well, there's been no official incident that we've had to sort of step
well, he's
in on
later, we'll ask him.
No, I think it went all right. I mean, we hoped he'd meet the Dalai Lama, but then we thought it might be for the best he didn't. But Dalai Lama is...
Invite him to Cheltenham for next year.
Yeah, it'd be great in the box, wouldn't it? It'd be fantastic. Imagine that. Imagine him standing there on the balcony. Go on, Ruby. It'd be fantastic.
We are expecting him at some of the games. Genuinely, he's a big fan of the team. In fact, there's a few photos of him with football shirts around. Weirdly,
oddly, he's a Northern Cyprus fan. I've never quite worked that out. Really, he's obviously got a bit of a soft spot for him.
If you ever Google him, you see him with a Bradford City shirt, and I don't know what the backstory to that is, but
it's not Photoshop. It's the real thing.
I think it's real. But yeah, if anyone does want to buy tickets, if you find us, we're at Khenifa Official. I'm at Paul_C_Watson. And our website is khenifa.org. And tickets are going out via Eventim. In your ticket price, you get a £1 donation to a team of your choice. So that doesn't have to be one of the teams competing. There's 16 teams coming to London, but we have 48 members. So if you want to give your pound to Western Sahara or Chagos Islands or Yorkshire, you can do that. That's up to you. So it's just a way that fans can get involved with the wider sort of Canadian
community.
United
Koreans in Japan had quite a handy. They beat Kurdistan 4-2. Quite a good result.
Yeah, there'll be ones to watch as well. I mean, Western Armenia are decent. There's a lot of good teams. And I think what people will be surprised by is actually the level of quality.
Yeah.
As I say, there are a lot of semi-pro, but also several pro players, including players who've played in the Champions League. So it's a real mix. We don't say you have to be amateur. Anyone can play as long as their club are happy.
Have you got an official ball?
We're still looking for that, actually.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Well, when you've been on this show in the past, you've kind of put the feelers out for a bit of help. So, I mean, that's something you're looking at the moment?
Very much. I mean, we definitely need sponsors. And our teams, obviously, as you say, need help. They're not rich people fundraising. So, for example, Matabeleland, if you can look up Matabeleland, they have a crowdfunder at the moment to help them. And their coach, Justin Wally, is actually an English coach who's trying to get them over here. Several of our teams are having to sort of fundraise their own way over. Once they're over here, we look after them with everything. But really,
do you think any of them won't be able to make it because of financial reasons?
No, we had one.
Quietly confident.
Well, the first pullout was Kiribati, and we always thought they would, and Tuvalu have stepped in. But we're not anticipating any other pullouts. The biggest thing people can do really is come and watch and have fun. It's in pre-season. Brilliant. It's exactly between the end of the season and the FIFA World Cup. As I say, there's a ground near pretty much everyone, whether you're in Bracknell or Slough or Sutton or wherever you are. And these are all great clubs who are buying into what we do, and proper football clubs with proper football fans who perhaps want something a little bit more like what we all used to watch growing up as a World Cup, where players might hang out with the fans and go for a drink with you in the bar. It's
brilliant.
It's not this kind of...
Are you going to be sort of the Sepp Blatter of the tournament?
Yeah, well, I hope not.
Well, I mean, that's not a great comparison.
I don't know what you're trying to ask there.
That's right. What is
he trying to ask for who's going to win?
No, you're arguing with Paddy over who presents the trophy.
Oh, yeah, that him and Pele fighting over there. That one, they're fine. We all remember that, don't we? Yeah. Paul, it's lovely to see you again.
Paul. Well done. Yeah, thank you.
Keep in touch before, obviously. We've got a couple of months till it happens. So, we'll sort of check in with you next month, see how things
we
are
should
going.
Go to That'd the opening. Great. We should go to the opening game, the opening ceremony.
Okay, right. You may be a guest of honour, Andy. I'm certainly going to be going along with some games, but we'll talk to you next month.
Lovely stuff. Thanks, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Tomorrow, among our guests, Owen Morgan, the England one-day skipper. And, of course, we'll look ahead to Liverpool versus Manchester City in the Champions League.
Look forward to it.
Have a great evening. Thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.